Welcome to another great episode of Mind Your Business on 710 WOR. Your host this evening is Mike McIntyre of Investors Bank. Tonight's show is sponsored by Investors Bank as we talk to key thought leaders across New Jersey and New York in the Chamber of Commerce and CDFI space. My job at the Investors Bank is to run their business and government banking space. And before I kick off, I want to thank a few folks for allowing me to be here tonight. My first thanks, of course, is to Yitzhak Safwas, who's observing Passover tonight. I am his twice-a-year host for Yom Kippur and Passover, and again, it is my pleasure to be here. It is my Palm Sunday, and as I told Yitzhak yesterday, I hope to see him after Easter and once Pesach is concluded. And so, again, my thanks to Yitzhak. My thanks also to Shirili and Michal for helping us to put together a great show for you tonight. On the investor side, Carrie Ponchek and Jason Baccara, who've been priceless in helping me to be a great host for you this evening. We have great content to share that is actionable and will give you an opportunity to help sustain and grow your business. My guests tonight include Randy Pierce, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, John Harmon, President and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey, Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce, and lastly, Paul Quintero of Ascendis, a New York-based CDFI. We've got a great show. We have a lot of content to get through, and my first guest tonight is going to be John Harmon, CEO and President of the African American Chamber of Commerce. Let me give you a little bit of information about John. John has served as the founder, president, and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey since 2007. In this role, he has the responsibility of establishing, implementing, and executing the mission, as well as a fiduciary oversight and governance of the chamber in accordance with his bylaws. In addition, he works to identify strategic partnerships in both the public and private sector to connect AACCNJ members and support to resources and opportunities to grow and sustain their goals and objectives and their businesses in New Jersey. Mr. Harmon serves as an advocate on behalf of the 1.1 million African-American residents and over 70,000 Black-owned businesses statewide to ensure that policy at the municipal, county, federal, and state level provides fairness, equity, and access to a level playing field in the marketplace. Mr. Harmon is also the former president and CEO of the Metropolitan Trenton African American Chamber of Commerce. He's also a banker, which is why I like him. So, John, I want to welcome you to the show. Thanks for being here. This is your first time on the show, and hopefully it's the first of many times. So thanks for being here, John.
Well, Mike, thank you for this opportunity. Pretty excited to have this conversation with you and your listening audience today.
You know, John, tonight we've been talking to presidents of chambers of commerce in both New Jersey and New York, and I'm really excited to be talking to you because, you know, this is our first time to connect. And candidly, you know, the population of business owners that you represent have been underserved for quite some time. And so I'm really looking forward to your insights and your thoughts and really your forecast of how we're going to recover from this pandemic. Let's start off with the following. High level, how is the business climate and environment in New Jersey right now recovering from the pandemic?
Well, the state overall is I think they're doing as best they can given the current environment. Governor Murphy and his team have been working hard to put resources. I think it was a couple of weeks ago he announced about a $300 million package that would consist of grants and very, very favorable loans. The terms are structured in such a way that would give small businesses an opportunity to ramp up and before they have to make payments. So that's encouraging. And just the EDA, that's our New Jersey Economic Development Authority, providing also technical assistance resources for small businesses and nonprofits. You know, but for government right now, many businesses would be in pretty bad shape. So the help from both the state and the federal levels have been very encouraging. So I guess we're doing as best we can given the current environment.
You know, John, you've been in the role you serve now for more than a decade. Tell me more about the African American Chamber of Commerce. What's your mission? What keeps you up at night? How do you run the show?
Well, it's a great question. You know, this June will make 24 years. I was privileged to be president of a regional chamber for about 10 years. And that's where I really became a student and really understanding what mainstream business was all about and connecting, forging a relationship with the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the National Black Chamber, and chambers here in the state of New Jersey. We were really to coalesce around a game plan to bring black business into the economic mainstream, in essence, get them to understand free enterprise and capitalism and all the components that they have to foster relationships with and leverage to run a successful business enterprise. And so, in sum, that's what the mission is all about, really promoting and educating. In part, our mission is about educating a sector of society that has a lot to offer, but oftentimes is not in a position to have their value proposition properly leveraged. So that's a role we play. The four areas that we focus on, Mike, is, you know, education, as I said, health, job readiness, and business. And you know, health, the underlying health conditions of the black community has been really decimated or exposed as a result of this COVID-19.
You're listening to another great episode of Mind Your Business on 710 WOR, hosted this evening by Investors Bank. My name is Mike McIntyre, and I head the business bank here. You know, John, the Congress just passed the American Rescue Plan Act last week for $1.9 trillion. There are massive allocations of funding and liquidity across various sectors of the economy. How will those funds flow into New Jersey?
No, that's a great question. And the term masses, with a big T as well. So the governor, those monies will come down through the state. And I'm saying hopefully. I know the governor has made some great overtures about how these resources will be dispensed throughout all sectors of society. And, you know, his theme or agenda is a stronger, fair and stronger economy. So here to date, I think they've been working to achieve that. But I think to your point, it has to be very intentional. Go to those sectors of society that have been really adversely impacted as a result of the COVID-19. So we're hearing a lot about giving more attention to the business community and those underserved sectors of society in terms of housing resources, health resources, and small business resources. That is our hope. That's what we're hearing. And it's our hope that they would execute and distribute those dollars very intentionally to impact those areas that have been severely impacted by this pandemic.
Yeah. You know, John, it's been a year essentially, right, since the pandemic started. And, you know, aside from, you know, SBA disaster loans and PPP, that's been my primary focus the last year, you know, on the business side of what I do during the day. Do you still see businesses that aren't taking full advantage of the available services and options available to them at the state and local level in New Jersey?
Well, I mean, that's part of what we do to try to make sure individuals are aware. As you know, the first round of PPP came out of the gate, and many folks, particularly black and brown businesses, were not really engaged to take full advantage of that. But as we got into the second round, working with the New Jersey Bankers Association and working with our great partners at Investors Bank, and others, we were able to really make an impactful difference. And so this third round, we're not seeing as much of businesses reaching out and taking advantage of these resources. And I think many of them are not sure if they're eligible because of some of the requirements. So we're working as hard as we can to let them know that, hey, it's one quarter. If you had one quarter where you had a dip of about 25% or so, you should respond, raise your hand, and take advantage of this great opportunity. I'm hopeful that the government will probably do a forgiveness. My hope is maybe $250,000 or less. They should just forgive it and without having a lot of questions. That's what I'm hoping will occur, but That's John Harmon speaking.
Well, there is some debate happening down in D.C. on that topic and many others. You know, what we keep hearing is that PPP may be extended beyond the March 31st deadline, you know, out to the end of May. And so a question for you on that regard, from a PPP perspective, has the program worked?
In my estimation, it has worked. I mean, for those who have taken advantage of the resources, our chamber was a recipient. In the first round, we applied for the second round, and investors handled both those transactions for us. It was a difference maker. We have a staff of 11 people. We're able to keep all of them working without furloughing or letting anybody go. So I would say it was a difference maker, I know, for our organization. And many folks that took advantage of it that we've been in contact with will say the same.
You're listening to another great episode of Mind Your Business on 710 WOR, hosted this evening by Investors Bank. My name is Mike McIntyre, and we're talking to John Harmon, President and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce. John, you recently received $1 million grant from the Pascal Sykes Foundation. Tell me about it.
You know, this was another game changer, if you will. We have this relationship with New Jersey Community Capital, which is a rather large, I would say, CDFI in New Jersey. And we've been in talks with them and working with them for some time now on what we would deem a crawl, walk, run strategy. We're hoping to stand up our own CDFI with the chamber so that we could, too, make microloans to small businesses. So in part, we are providing technical assistance and loan processing, and NJCC is making the loans. The Pascal Sykes Foundation put $1 million in the pot to fund loans and also to support the infrastructure of our technical assistance, which is going to be, as I said, a game changer. But I want to take a little step further here in terms of, I think you asked me a question earlier, and I want to kind of go back to it and just talk more about the corporate support, the corporate response, the response from the financial services institutions, in addition to the Pascal Sykes Foundation, helping me and the chamber address many of the disparities and the adverse implications for Black businesses as a result of this pandemic. We've seen corporations join the chamber, fund initiatives that will help in terms of programming, educational programming for high school students, workforce, ex-offender training and entrepreneurship, helping them start and sustain small businesses, job readiness and placement opportunities. This is all coming from resources from corporations in New Jersey. In addition, working with New Jersey Bankers Association, we now have 20 financial services institutions that are part of the chamber that are making access to capital more readily available. So this pandemic, although it's been, has some adverse implications as it relates to health and treasure, there's been a silver lining in terms of bringing people together, being more receptive to diversity, equity, and inclusion as a transformer, as a pathway, if you will, to make New Jersey's economy more competitive. So the Pascal Sykes Foundation is just one of many partners that we've been able to leverage that I think down the road will pay big dividends for Black businesses, Black people in New Jersey as a whole, and improve the overall competitiveness of the state.
So, John, let me build on that. You made some forward-looking statements, and this is really the next part of that question. You know, as you look out over the next 12 to 18 months, you know, in your view, what needs to happen to help the existing businesses survive, and what has to happen to have new businesses thrive?
Well, I think what has to happen is we must continue the same. The public sector government must be conscious of the fact that, you know, small businesses fuel the economy, and finding a way to connect them to their supply chain as well. And if there was any area of deficiency, it's public contracting. I think we have some real problems in New Jersey around public contracting. Unions have preferences in New Jersey, and there's very little incentive in public contracting for minority and women-owned businesses. So that's one area that we must do a better job. But the engagement of the corporations and the banks, I can't underscore how significant that is if we continue to build on it. Getting individuals to acknowledge that we are all in this together and not look at this as charity. This is about business. This is about driving the economy in an equitable way where all sectors of society are at the trough and getting some meaningful reciprocity, and thus using that reciprocity to fund their households and also to fund their business plans. So I think we're on to something here as more people look at diversity, equity, and inclusion as a paradigm for the betterment of society and not charity or helping, you know, helping folks that are down on their luck. No, this is about a coexistence in a mutual way, mutually beneficial way.
My guest tonight has been John Harmon, President and CEO of the African-American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. John, as we close, how can folks learn more about your chamber and how can they become a member?
Thank you so much for that. Again, Michael, I can't emphasize enough how much I appreciate being here. But they can go to aaccnj.com. There you'll find out about our weekly radio show, The Empowerment Hour, airs every Monday, and also our television show that airs on PBS and NJTV once a month called Pathway to Success.
My guest tonight, John Harmon, President and CEO of the African American Chamber of Commerce of New Jersey. We'll be right back.
Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason know the importance of relationships. So Investors Bank asked them to talk business banking in their terms.
You know, Phil, football taught me a lot about being a team player.
It's understanding the folks you work with, like you and me.
Aw, you're making me blush.
Investors Bank understands relationships too. We customize solutions for your business with easy online account management and the convenience of secure digital tools. If your business isn't banking with Investors Bank, it should be. Learn more at investorsbank.com. Member FDIC.
And we're back to another great episode of Mind Your Business. Guest hosted tonight by Mike McIntyre of Investors Bank. My next guest this evening is a local friend and local neighbor here in Brooklyn, Randy Pierce, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce. Randy, welcome.
Michael, thank you again for having me.
So, Randy, the last time I talked to you, it was 6 months ago. It feels like ages because, again, you know, in the years of COVID, it has been ages. I know you guys have recently issued a year-end survey. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we had been surveying the small businesses since the shutdown back in March. We've been doing monthly surveys, but we did a comprehensive year-end that looked at really the impact on the businesses from 2019 through 2020. It's a pretty challenging picture, especially for the small business community. 80% of our businesses indicated year-over-year declines in revenue. Of the 80% that saw a decline, half of them indicate that they've lost more than half of their annual revenue. So that's a significant number. You know, the other thing that we're seeing is that 85% of the small businesses let go some of their employees. 33% or a third of businesses still owe back rent. Now that number's come down a little bit. So we've been tracking that number since the beginning, and it makes a little bit of sense because as businesses were able to open up and generate some revenue, they've tried to make good on some of their owed rent, but only half of them have received any type of concession. So, you know, we still have a big issue with rent. It's the highest fixed cost for any small business. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to reconcile this once we lift the moratorium on evictions. Another interesting data point, 51% of the businesses have taken on more debt just to get them through this crisis, just to get them through this pandemic. So, you know, it's a pretty challenging picture for the small business community. And by the way, these are the businesses that are still in business and can answer a survey. It doesn't speak to the countless number of businesses that have permanently closed. And it's hard to get an accurate number on that, but we're estimating, depending upon the commercial corridor or community, between 20% and 33% of businesses have permanently closed.
you know, when we last spoke, like I said, it's been 6 months ago. You outlined how much work the chamber has been doing day in and day out to help your members and really to help the overall community in Brooklyn. You know, how is that mission continuing on now, 6 months later?
Yeah, over the last 12 months, it's become our singular focus. I mean, business recovery is it. That's who we are. That's what we're doing. By the way, it's not about membership in any way, shape, or form. All of the services and programs that we offer to help businesses get back on their feet are open to any business throughout Brooklyn. But the numbers, they tell a story, Michael, you know, and the numbers are pretty extraordinary from our perspective. You know, we've done 31 formal commercial corridor visits. These are listening tours. These are me personally getting out, talking to the small businesses and getting a better understanding of what's happening on the ground. You know, we launched our Bring Back Brooklyn Fund, a crowdfunding campaign through our CDFI in order to raise some money for no interest, no fee loans. We raised $750,000. We gave out $137,000 in loans and $500,000 in grants. We did deep cleanings for businesses. We used the grant money to pay for deep cleaning. So businesses that were reopening and restarting, we were able to tap into other small businesses to come in and help sanitize the facility and get it baseline clean and safe for opening. We delivered almost 500,000 units of PPE valued at almost $140,000. So these are masks, these are gloves, this is sanitizers, these are face shields, these are the thermometers. More recently, we pre-purchased 200 heaters just for restaurants, 100 propane and 100 electric valued at $62,000. You know, we're doing a lot to sort of get the message out in the press. We had a lot of press mentions last year. And most significantly, we've served a total of almost 3,800 small businesses across the borough. So we are very, very proud of the story that these numbers tell, because these are real businesses, real people, real people's lives that we've helped to impact in a positive way.
It's extraordinary. It's extraordinary work, Randy. Question for you about the American Rescue Plan Act. Now that ARP, as it's known officially, now that it's been passed by the Congress and funds are being distributed to both individuals and to states, I noticed that there are allocations of funding for restaurants and hospitality, et cetera. How do you think and how will those funds flow into Brooklyn over the weeks and months ahead?
First of all, this plan is a very good plan for New York, and it's a very good plan for small businesses. And, you know, credit goes to Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, right person at the right time for New York, for sure, to take on that role. You know, we've been fighting for a carve out for restaurants since the beginning, since the first stimulus package last year. My good friend Andrew Ridgey of the New York City Hospitality Alliance, he's been leading that fight. We've been supporting him. You know, the airlines got a carve out, you know, and other industries have. Restaurant hospitality industry, super important in New York, and they've been hit the hardest. So we were pleased to see the carve out included. You know, these are grants, not loans, right? So that's the other important factor here. These are grant support that restaurants won't have to pay it back, or they won't have to ask for forgiveness through a formula. And they could use it to really get back on their feet. Save Our Stages is going to help us get another grant program is going to help us get Broadway and live entertainment venues back online. You know, these things are really, really important as we move forward. Of course, the allocations to the states and the localities were something that we in New York needed desperately, especially with the looming budget deficits. So all of it coming together in this package is really a good package for small businesses, for New York. You know, by the way, the previous package, which was passed in January, that had a second draw of the PPP loans, which is equally as important, right? So even if you got a Paycheck Protection Program loan last year, you could qualify for a second draw. You know, all of this combined really shows that, you know, the federal government, when it steps up, can do what it needs to do to support the American people and to support, more importantly, small businesses.
You're listening to another great episode of Mind Your Business, hosted this evening by Mike McIntyre of Investors Bank. Randy, as we close this conversation, and again, you know, looking back over the last 6 months, I think you and I were talking offline about how vaccinations have really started to have a positive impact on the recovery here in New York and across the country. How can individuals and businesses learn more about the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce?
BrooklynChamber.com is our website. We have a COVID-19 business resources page. It pops up right on the top when you get to the homepage. We also are part of what's called the New York City Small Business Resource Network. It's a public-private partnership, us and the five chambers of commerce, as well as the Partnership for New York City, New York City EDC, and funded by the Peterson Foundation. It allows us to put feet on the street, boots on the ground. We deploy recovery specialists to all the communities, all the neighborhoods throughout Brooklyn. There are six here in Brooklyn, 22 citywide. Basically, if you go to smallbusinessresourcenetwork.org, that's the website, simple intake form, you'll be assigned a business recovery specialist, connects you to access to financing, marketing support, technology support, including e-commerce and website design, pro bono legal services. All of it is free. All of it is designed to get businesses back on their feet. So just go to smallbusinessresourcenetwork.org or call the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce at 718-875-1000, and we'll be able to connect you to that network. We'll deploy a recovery specialist right to your door, and we'll help you to access the support that's available.
My guest this evening has been Randy Pierce, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce. Randy, great to connect. It's been extraordinary the progress that the Chamber has made in contributing to the recovery of Brooklyn and beyond. And again, thanks for what you do and have a great evening.
Thank you so much. Appreciate being here.
We're going to take a short commercial break. We will be right back.
Phil Simms and Boomer Esiason know the importance of relationships. So Investors Bank asked them to talk business banking in their terms.
You know, Phil, football taught me a lot about being a team player.
It's understanding the folks you work with, like you and me.
Aw, you're making me blush.
Investors Bank understands relationships, too. We customize solutions for your business with easy online account management and the convenience of secure digital tools. If your business isn't banking with Investors Bank, it should be. Learn more at investorsbank.com. Member FDIC.
And we're back tonight to a guest episode of Mind Your Business, presented this evening by Investors Bank. My name is Mike McIntyre, and I run the business bank over at Investors, based in Short Hills, New Jersey. My next guest this evening is Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. And as a Queens resident, Tom, it's my pleasure to welcome you to our show, and thanks for being here.
Mike, thanks. The pleasure's all mine. I really appreciate the invitation.
Tom, we've been through an extraordinary year, and as we've been talking to other leaders of chambers and CDFIs tonight, you know, my first question, it remains the same. Describe the business climate in Queens right now.
So right now, we're cautiously optimistic about a pretty robust late spring and early summer. I was in Manhattan a few weeks ago with one of your previous guests, who's become a good friend, Randy Pierce from the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce, also Andrew Ridgey from the New York City Hospitality Alliance, and our friend Vijay Dadapani from the Hotel Trades Group in Manhattan. And this is probably like 2 weeks ago, and except for 50 cops on the job in Times Square, it was pretty desolate in Times Square. It took me just a few minutes to get from Queens to Manhattan. The office market there is an ongoing challenge getting the office workers back. But I will tell you that in Queens, it's not nearly normal, but people are out and about. The streets are getting a little bit more crowded. The sidewalks, the vendors are out. The storefronts are open where stores are still open. And like I said, I'm pretty cautiously optimistic. Things are getting better.
You know, last week, the Congress passed the American Rescue Plan. And I understand that you recently had an opportunity to speak with the Majority Leader Chuck Schumer just before his passage. What have you learned? What did he convey to you and your membership?
Well, first of all, it was a great event. We've been trying to work with Senator Schumer on an in-person way for a while. He's always been very receptive to some of the business things going on, but it was great to get him. And as luck would have it, we scheduled him for the Friday before last at 5 o'clock, which is kind of an odd time, right? But listen, you get Schumer when you can get him, right? So we had the event, we started off, and it was kind of dramatic because they actually were going through the vote and organizing the votes that very hour. We had him from like 5 to almost 5:45. And at the top of it, he was a gentleman and said, folks, I'll be fielding some phone calls, please no disrespect. And I kind of commented about, hey, listen, you're doing the people's work. Thank you, right? And so a couple of times the phone rang and it was some of his colleagues, but it was a great experience to have him on. We thanked him profusely for his support of the legislation and got some great questions from the folks that tuned in that day. It was a great opportunity.
You're listening to another great episode of Mind Your Business, presented this evening by Investors Bank, by your host, Mike McIntyre. Tom, you know, now that the act is passed, you know, you have the finger on the pulse of Queens. How do you expect the funds to flow from the federal government to the state and then ultimately into the borough?
So I think they're going to probably go through the same machinations as previous. The small business, the United States Small Business Administration, the SBA, as well as some of the banks such as yours that service the local population. And I will make a comment. I'm a big believer in the glass is half full, not half empty. And I'm not a basher of organizations, especially during tough times. But I will tell you that during 2020, lots of folks happily and sadly jumped on the bashing of the SBA bandwagon. And I can tell you that in the first couple of weeks of those programs, they processed more applications in the first 14 days than they had processed in the previous 14 years. It's important for Queens people, New Yorkers, and Americans to know that was like drinking from a fire hose from day one. I will tell you, we've had a number of folks from the SBA, the regional district manager on that runs basically most of the East Coast. They have done a fantastic job of reacting to that situation from April of last year. And I think you're going to see a major improvement from then till now. It's been incrementally better as time's gone by, but I think the SBA is more than ready for the deluge that's going to be happening again.
So Tom, you know, building on PPP, and I'm glad you brought that up. As of now, the program is due to expire at the end of the month. However, there is debate down in Washington about extending it beyond May 31st. You know, from your view, have your members, have local businesses in Queens been able to access the PPP programs efficiently?
They have been. And I will tell you, you know, in many respects, my hat is off and kudos to the federal government. You're not going to hear a lot from a lot of people, right? But you know, just yesterday they announced they're going to push back the April 15th tax deadline. It's nice to have some kind of a sense of reality out there. I got to imagine if you're a tax preparer, and we have a lot of them that are members of the chamber, including on my board. Patrick Yu, our treasurer, is a partner at Baker Tilly. 2020 will probably go down in the history books as one of the more complicated, if not the most complicated, tax year out there, whether they were a big drop in revenue, aid that folks got, losses that people incurred. So when it comes to the aid, I think the feds are going to be relatively flexible with allowing some leeway with some of these programs and some of these terms in a similar fashion to what they did with the IRS tax deadline.
We're speaking with Tom Gretsch, president and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. Tom, you touched on the some of the acts passed by Congress in the last couple of weeks. And, you know, one of the things about Queens is that it's known for its great restaurants. And, you know, one of the things that the ARPA contains in the act is some carve out of dollars for restaurants and hospitality businesses. How are restaurants going to be able to access these funds?
So that's a really good question. And I want to just touch base on a somewhat tangential but related topic. We advocated like crazy, and I mean crazy, on a daily basis, calls, letters, email. We actually were able to get Grace Meng, a esteemed congresswoman from Queens County, and a high-ranking official in the Democratic Party in Congress to partner with Peter King, maybe an ideological opposite, to come together in a nonpartisan way to help get that act passed, to help along the way for the Restaurants Act. We had a number of joint press conferences, both in Manhattan and also in Queens at Bourbon Street on Bayside, up on the rooftop, imploring their peers in Congress to get it done. And now that it is done, we intend to be out there to help get that money paid out as quickly and as fast as possible. You know, restaurants are an interesting bunch, right? They don't complain a lot. They're very, very hard workers, but without any way forward, without business, I just mean basic business, it was a really, really tough year. It's really tough in many places based upon the kind of food to do takeout, just a really, really tough environment. And the city of New York made it even more difficult in some cases with DOB, DOT, FDNY, the alphabet city of enforcement, not to mention the SLA from the state level, beating up our restaurants pretty well. In the spirit of following rules and regulations. So we were at the forefront of trying to help our restaurants, and we see a little bit of a bounce back. However, of the 6,000 in Queens, We know that at least 1,000 have closed. I hope not permanently, but 1,000 of our six are closed. And again, we're hoping not for forever.
You know, Tom, Queens is known for its diversity in both languages, population, restaurants, types of industries. We were talking before about a really cool initiative that you launched on the tech side. Tell us about your tech council.
Yeah, we are a very diverse. We are probably the most diverse place on earth. Of the 3,000 or so counties in America, Queens is the most diverse by far. I'm proud to tell you at the Queens Chamber, we speak about 12 different languages. So we might answer the phone, good morning, Queens Chamber of Commerce. But if you've got a question, you've got a challenge in a different language, we can assist. The Queens Tech Council, you know, the loss of Amazon has stuck in my mind as, on a professional level, maybe the saddest day of my professional career when they pulled out that day. They were beat up in city council by some very unprofessional folks. They were chased out of town, all because of some misinformation that was put out there. But let's not rehash the past. Let's talk about the future. All the reasons that Amazon chose Queens in the first place existed then in a great way and are even more important today. They chose Queens for three basic important reasons. Our diversity, which we just touched upon. Our educational system. Our 8 colleges and universities in Queens County educate over 90,000 students. Almost 48% are foreign born. In fact, Queens College on Casino Boulevard graduates more computer science majors than any other college in the 5 boroughs. And we talked a lot about the fact that the real freedom train for lots of the kids that go to Queens College would have been from Casino Boulevard to the Annabelle Basin, right? And the third most important part of why they chose us was our infrastructure when it comes to transportation. Trains, planes, and automobiles, and then some, right? And now you add bikes to the mix. We have a great, great transportation network. We want to harness all that, and we want to make sure that other tech companies and investors know what a great place Queens is. For example, we've got Amazon back to the table to help us out, spearhead this effort to bring tech here. Besides Amazon, we've got Facebook, we've got Google, we've got the Cornell Tech Center right on Roosevelt Island. When those companies grow and start prospering, those startups, we want them to look east to Queens as they grow and prosper. We're also forming a Queens Angels group. There's a lot of people, men and women, that learn their trade, learn their craft here in Queens. We want to tap into them in a for-profit kind of a way, build together a pool of funds to invest in those startups that we have.
You're listening to another great episode of Mind Your Business, presented this evening by Investors Bank. My guest this evening is Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. Tom, as we look ahead and we start to vaccinate a greater share of our populations across the county, you know, what's your forecast for Queens over the next 12 to 18 months?
That's a really good question and a tough one to predict, right? We don't have a crystal ball, but I will tell you, I'm a big believer in the man and woman on the street perspective. When I walk around Queens and I talk to people, how's it going? My staff sometimes thinks I'm nuts, right? But when I'm out and about, I look at the restaurants, I look at the different tenor of the streets. But you know what I look for? The food service delivery guys and gals, those with trucks that deliver products to delis, bodegas, and restaurants. I stop those truck drivers and I ask them, how's business? How's deliveries? And if the guy tells me, holy cow, I'm swamped. I'm delivering bologna here and egg and milk over there. And so that's my barometer, right? When I see those people busy and swamped, there was a period of time over last spring and summer, I never saw those delivery trucks at all, ever. There was no demand. So now I see them. The other part that I love, Mike, is seeing the airplanes. To me, I miss the airplane traffic. I love airplane traffic because to me, every one of those planes, if you think about it, represents a couple thousand jobs. Baggage handlers, flight crew, people that support getting the guy to the airport, the gal driving him, the person serving him food, whatever it happens to be. We see that. So my prediction is going to be at the end of the first half of the year, after June 1st, I look for a hockey stick, not only across Queens, but across our state and across our country because of the pent-up demand. The herd mentality is taking effect. My staff got vaccinated. A lot of folks I know got vaccinated. Thank heavens for the collaboration between people like Merck and J&J and the efforts of the government to get the vaccines out. I am very, very bullish on our economy across the country, but especially in Queens County.
Wow. Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. Tom, as we close, this is, I think, probably the most important question that I'm going to have for you. How can folks learn more about the Queens Chamber and become a member?
That's a really good question, and I truly appreciate it. So when the pandemic first hit, I made a decision, got the blessing of my board, that we were going to serve all comers. You know, we're a membership organization. At the low level, it's $370 a year to join the Chamber of Commerce. It's about a dollar a day. But I made a decision early on that we were going to serve anybody that called us for help, right? And I figured we'd do the membership thing at a later date because heaven know, we had grown men and women calling and crying to us, literally in tears, begging for help, and we did that. And so you want to join the Queens Chamber of Commerce, we would be grateful and we would appreciate. Since 1911, we're now in our 110th year, we've educated, we've advocated, and we've networked. Our chamber address is queenschamber.org, www.queenschamber.org. People want to reach me directly with questions and comments. Happy to field all questions. I take personal pleasure in answering any and all emails that come my way. And that's T as in Tom, Gretsch, G-R-E-C-H, at queenschamber.org.
Wow. What a great segment on Mind Your Business, hosted tonight by Investors Bank. You're hearing and listening to Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. Tom, thanks for joining us this evening and have a great week ahead.
Michael, thanks so much to you and your team. It's a great organization, Investors Bank. I've had the pleasure of meeting your leadership, Dominic and Kevin and the folks that serve on my board from Investors. My hat, frankly, is off to you. So thank you for your service to our small business community.
Thanks, Tom. Tonight's show is a takeover sponsored by Investors Bank, member FDIC. A little bit about Investors Bank. We are a $27 billion institution based in Short Hills, New Jersey, serving businesses and consumers across our 150 branch network in New Jersey, New York, and Long Island. My name is Mike McIntyre, and I run the business bank over at Investors based in Short Hills, New Jersey. My next guest this evening is a friend whom I hadn't talked to for several years until I was sitting at home in New York reading Cranes back in January, and I read that Paul was doing great work making PPP loans, but he needed more money. We took care of that a few weeks back, and here we are. Paul Quintero, CEO, Chief Executive Officer of Ascendus Inc. Paul joined Ascendus back in 2007 as its CFO and was later named CEO in 2011. Under Paul's leadership, he has worked to improve the organization so that it can fulfill its vision and mission of creating financial ascension for all. My guest tonight, Paul Ascendus, welcome to the show, Paul. Thanks for being here.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you for having me.
So, Paul, we've been talking to CEOs of chambers of commerce tonight, but you're in a unique position in that you're a CDFI. Explain what that means. Explain what your mission is of what Ascendus does.
Sure. Let me take it in parts. So who's Ascendus? We were formerly called Acciones, but we are a national nonprofit business lender. And our mission, very succinctly, is to empower low to moderate income business owners with access to capital and business support. But more generally, we support all business owners who aren't quite ready, you know, for traditional bank lending. Now, for three decades, we've been fulfilling big dreams through small loans. And when I say small, we started in Brooklyn, I'm talking $500. And just for the listeners who might be sitting there thinking, wait, this is New York, $500? Come on, what are you going to do with $500? So let me just briefly tell you how we began. It was 1991. It was a recession year. A woman named Uvalda Alvarado, who had, with her husband, had been working at the factories in Brooklyn when we were doing a lot more manufacturing, lost her job, and knocking on doors was rejected. And no, we don't have any employment. But found a metal food truck or cart, excuse me, in a junkyard in Brooklyn, and asked the owner, "Can I rent that food cart?" And he said, "For what?" He said, "Well, I can't work in the factories, but I know a lot of people that work in the factories that are from Mexico, and I like to make lunch." And after he, you know, stopped laughing, he said, "What? Mexican food? You know, this is 1991. This is before Chipotle. This is before, I mean, there wasn't even a Starbucks in New York." Yeah. So I said, no, this is going to fail. I said, "Don't worry about it. $50 a month." So she convinced him to rent it for $50 a month. And in the fourth month, this owner said, "Listen, I'm not a rental business. I'm a junkyard. Buy this metal cart or forget about this idea of Mexican food in Brooklyn. So she negotiated a rock bottom price of $500. But because everything was hand to mouth, she didn't have $500. And so dejected, someone said, hey, you should talk to Ascendas. And we were just beginning our mission work in Brooklyn at that time. And our very first loan in this country was to Ubalda, who took that money, called it Antojitos Mexicano, which means Mexican appetizers. With that money, got a second cart, eventually got a restaurant, made two restaurants. When we tracked her down 20 years later in 2011, she had moved from New York, sold the business, started the business again in Texas. When we knew her years ago, she had one child. At that time, it was three. Two of them went to college, paid for by mom. One of them was going to be paid for by mom, and all because of a crazy dream of Mexican food. $500 over the span of 20 years made that kind of impact. And I think for anyone listening to from New York, you know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about neighborhoods and what local eateries and places can mean. So that's what we've been doing. But I'd say to just close this first part, what makes us different, I'd say are two things, our purpose and our beliefs. In terms of purpose, we are a nonprofit. And why that's important if you're a small business owner is that we weren't created to merely transact with you. We were created to help transform you and your life through entrepreneurship. And that, I think that's important. That's why we get up every day. And the second is our beliefs. And there are three of them. You know, the power of up, knowing that this business is not just about making money, but improving your life, your family's life, and your community. The power of you, because the entrepreneurs are why we have a mission. So we get up every day to support them. And then we know that the good that they'll accomplish will be great. So that's about Ascendas. And you asked about community development financial institution or CDFIs. What is that? Well, that is technical speak that the U.S. Treasury gave to organizations that annually certify that we're providing responsible, affordable lending to low-income, low-wealth, or other disadvantaged communities. So since 1991, we've helped over 23,000 entrepreneurs, $200 million in capital. Just since, I guess, COVID started, we've deployed $20 million in loans and over $30 million in grants, and we can talk more about that. But CDFIs, you know, we have the housekeeping seal of approval from the U.S. Department of Treasury. We focus on this, we prove it, and we've been doing it for many years.
So, Paul, you're a CDFI, which means, just for the audience's benefit, that you actually make loans in addition to a traditional bank financing.
Correct.
Explain some of the loans that you would make that perhaps a lender like myself wouldn't or might refer to you instead.
Sure. So first of all, we are a lender, but we don't take deposits. So we're not depository. So please, we're working very close partnership with our banks. So we want you to get to the bank. So that's the first thing. But the second thing, what do we do? So I'll give you many examples. Number one, years in business. Many folks start a hobby and it takes off after a few months and they want to make it run. Well, that's not long enough because most traditional lenders require tax returns of a year or two, usually two, to show trajectory. So anyone that's less than 2 years in business, that would be one example. Number two, credit. You normally need really good credit. And for many folks, either you don't have it because you weren't born in the U.S., you happen to have a good business, but you don't have credit history. Or you have been in the U.S., but your credit history is not so good because no one had really worked with you to help improve it. That can be a limitation. Three, oftentimes one of the C's in lending is collateral. Well, in New York, we don't really take collateral for us, but a bank would need to because you know they don't want to take we don't want banks taking risks that are inappropriate. But for many of those that we serve, there's no collateral. If they had the collateral, they probably wouldn't come to us. So I'd say collateral, credit, stage of business, and sometimes industry. Right now, we know restaurants are really hard hit, and we have always served the food and beverage industry. But I can tell you that some of those industries are not lender friendly because they do represent a lot of risk. So those would be examples of businesses, either by stage, by credit, by collateral, that just would not be a good fit for a bank, even though there's a banking relationship in other ways and one that we want to foster and continue to grow.
We're speaking with Paul Quintero, CEO of Ascendas, a New York-based CDFI. Paul, you know, the Congress last week and the president signed into law the American Rescue Plan over a trillion, $1.9 trillion of funding across the country. From your view, from the communities that you serve, how do you see those funds filtering their way through the various federal and state and local agencies, ultimately to benefit your customers and your members?
So, and here's how I see it. I just speak for myself. We serve the base of the pyramid. So, when you look at an iceberg, what you see above the water, if you would look at businesses, are the businesses that have employees. So out of 30 million businesses in the United States, probably something in the order of 15% of those have employees. Let's say 20 to be very conservative. So it's only 6 million businesses that have employees. And what about the other 24 million? The other 24 million no one talks about. They're the Lyft driver. They're the person doing, as I said, maybe home-based, where they don't have a lot of employees, or they're cooking things. That's a shingle. It's not even a mom and a pop. It's a mom or a pop. Okay, that's most of the business. So the reason that I'm encouraged about what's happened is that this is the first stimulus that I've seen that wasn't top down but bottom up. Look, whether people need it or not, whether some people on the margin, that's a debate. But I know that at the bottom, everybody needs this money because they're making up for the losses that were already incurred. For example, on average, the loan demand that we see today for programs that we're involved in is twice as high as pre-COVID. And is it because your business took off all of a sudden when everything shut down? Clearly not. People are making up for all the funds that they lost. So the fact that the monies are going out to people, the fact that there are supports, here's what it's going to do. And we serve the small to medium or the low to medium income community. It's going to provide money for things that would otherwise have siphoned cash from the business. It's Peter pays Paul, right? Family need, business need, and they're always mixed.
They're commingled,
so when when you get more support on the family side, that could have been rent, that could have been food, that could have been some bill that would otherwise have drained from the business. And so what it does is it will give, I think, businesses a little bit more of a fighting chance. Remember, in the United States, on average, U.S. small businesses have only about 22, 23 days of cash on hand. So this money will get used in a way that will help them be more resilient. So I'm very optimistic, but I can't, until this all flows through, I won't be able to make a more specific comment other than this is the first time that what was under the iceberg, it gets addressed and has never been done in my career, my history. So I'm very encouraged by it. I think it will bode well for the majority of small businesses that no one talks about.
So Paul, building on that point, we basically have two questions left here. This has been a great segment, so thank you so much. You and I connected because you were quoted in a publication talking about the PPP loans and really your challenges in making PPP loans. I think people don't realize that sometimes CDFIs can indeed make PPP loans, but you're really at the mercy of how much liquidity you have to make those loans. What has been, I think I know the answer, but what continues to be your biggest challenge in making PPP loans to customers that you clearly know much better than we do?
Well, you hit the first one, which is capital. We had come off a banner year in 2019. And unless you lend the money first, because the SBA is providing a guarantee, but they're not providing the money. We didn't have the money. And then because of what I shared before, we had stopped receiving repayments because we wanted to help our clients. We had no money coming back, no repayments. So we were basically liquidity constrained. Investors, stood up and has made a commitment to us to help support this program. And we did something that the federal government set up that we didn't do the first time, which is the Cleveland Fed created a liquidity facility that allows organizations like us that have participated last year to be able to finance based on the pledging of the prior loans money so that we could have something to advance. So between the support that organizations like Investors has done for us directly and what the feds are doing, programmatically, we this time have now the money. That was challenge number one. But I would say for our clients, the issues have been primarily regulatory. A lot of folks don't understand how this works. One tweak in this second round is you had to have shown a decline in revenue from last year. So it's not like the first time where people just assume you have it. Now you have to prove it. Well, guess what? record keeping has always been a challenge for our businesses. So that's been an issue. The timeliness of the guidance, things have been changing now. That makes it difficult, but I'll take it because I'd rather have urgency than long delay. And then we did have some technical issues when this launched, literally because we rely on third parties for certain technology. It wasn't set up for us to even do the work for a few weeks. And this process is taking longer than last time because the government is doing the diligence up front versus later. So all those things are, I'd say, the challenges our clients have faced. But good news on the way. I believe just this week, the Congress, at least the House of Representatives, is voting to expand or extend the program to end of May. So for anyone listening that thinks, okay, this program ends in March, it's very unlikely that this is going to extend a few more months. So if you haven't taken advantage, please do so. And then the solution to these challenges, frankly, is work with people one-on-one. And that's what we've been doing. So there's a lot of complication out there. There's a lot of information and misinformation. The best thing to do is have someone work with you one-on-one, which is what we do, to help guide you through that. There's no shortcuts in life. You just do the work. Head down, get it done.
I have had the pleasure this evening of speaking to Paul Quintero, CEO of Ascendis, a New York-based CDFI. And Paul, as we close out here with my final question, how can folks learn more about Ascendis, your mission, and get in contact with you?
I think the simplest way is visit the website, www.ascendis, that's Ascend and us, ascendis.org. Or if you know that you're interested in either a PPP program or other loan, call us at 1-800-245-0783. Again, 1-800-245-0783. Again, we're here not to transact with you. We're here to hopefully help transform you in a positive way through entrepreneurship.
You've been listening to Paul Quintero, CEO of Ascendis. Some incredible content as to how startups and low to moderate income business owners have been able to succeed this past year during the pandemic. Paul, thanks for joining us and have a great week ahead.
Thank you very much, Mike. Be well.
This has been another great episode of Mind Your Business. Tonight's guest host, Mike McIntyre of Investors Bank. My guest tonight, Randy Pierce, President and CEO of the Brooklyn Chamber of Commerce. John Harmon, President and CEO of the New Jersey African American Chamber of Commerce. Tom Gretsch, President and CEO of the Queens Chamber of Commerce. And Paul Quintero, CEO of Ascendis, a New York-based CDFI. For more information or to see other shows, go to 710 WOR, an iHeartRadio station, mybradio.com, or on the YouTube channel at Mind Your Business. Thanks again and have a great week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.